Do you struggle with being a military spouse? Are you finding it hard to balance work and life, especially when your service member is gone? In this episode of the Waiting Warriors podcast, I brought on a guest, Liz, and we talk about the ways to handle everything better, how we can manage our personal and professional goals while our service member is either just gone or in and out with trainings. We discuss tips to set goals, how to keep boundaries, how to actually do that as a military spouse. And one thing that really got me thinking that she was talking about is how to get comfortable with the quiet with your service member being gone. It is very insightful and I think you will love it. So let's get to this interview and learn how to not only face challenges, but grow in them. Welcome to the Waiting Warriors podcast, the podcast for military spouses and significant others who are committed to their service member and want to make the most out of this unique military lifestyle. It's for genuine and honest conversations about topics normally glossed over or things that we just don't talk about for those who want to know actionable and tactical things so that they can really thrive. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler, military spouse of almost 12 years. Let's get to the interview. Hey, Waiting Warriors, welcome to another week of season two of the Waiting Warriors podcast, where we're going to talk all about all things deployment, TDY, reintegration. We're going to cover all the things that you just don't think about, and or maybe we just don't talk enough about, and you wish like somebody had told you, or all the things. And today we have Liz. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Thanks, Michelle, for having me. I'm excited about our conversation.
I'm excited too. So Liz is a Marine Corps spouse of 10 years, and she is the owner of Libby Works, which we'll hear more about. They are sponsoring this episode today, so you hear more about what they do. But we're going to talk today about how spouses can manage personal and professional goals during deployment. And I don't know, for me, It's funny when I talk to people about topics because they ask me like how I feel about these things, but because I talk to so many of you guys like on Instagram and with different podcast interviews, I'm talking to different spouses all the time. So I hear topics and then I think about like all the things I've heard about, right? All the variety of opinions. And it's really interesting because there kind of sometimes are two camps. There's the people who are like, are super go-getter. And then there's people who are like, I'm just trying to survive here. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be an interesting topic for those of us who are maybe like, I really just like need to get through this and I'm not super motivated, but I wonder, will goals like actually help you get through it in a more successful, thriving way? I think times and seasons, but it'll be interesting.
Well, and I think too, one of the things like I think about is I am a go-getter. I've always been described as like the overachiever, mm-hmm. and becoming a mom and then trying to balance professional and personal life, like being a military spouse has kind of recalibrated what I think. And so I think that that's mm-hmm. also like part of this conversation is that you evolve as a person. And that's something that a lot of us just have to get used to is that evolution. And, I just want to share, I guess, my story. And talking to other military spouses about this experience is super helpful for just all of us as a shared mm-hmm. collective experience. Mm-hmm. And I think back in, 2009, when I met my husband, and we started dating and stuff, and all of these really experienced military spouses gave me a lot of advice. And now I feel like I'm in that position and need to pay it forward. And what I've learned too, I always say this, but a rising tide lifts all boats. And I truly believe that. And our shared collective experience can be really powerful. And so I think telling stories like this and us having these discussions is so important for military spouses at every stage of the journey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So real fast, I know sure it's like an awesome story, but for the sake of this episode, real fast, like when did you become Did you become a business owner before you became a military spouse? And then kind of leading into that, what was that like going into your first deployment with trying to balance? Because that's a balancing act, right? Like you're going yeah. through this big change and you're a business of an owner. So it's a business of an owner. You're an owner of a business. And it's not like life stops, right?
Right. No, it never stops. Right. And so, yeah, quickly. So, I started in the entertainment industry. So I was not a business owner when my husband and I met, but I was an independent contractor. So yeah. I was jumping from job to job to job, just kind of depending. And so I kind of got that like flavor of essentially being self-employed, right? Being a 1099 mm-hmm. contractor most of the time. And then that evolved into being a business owner multiple times. So I've done one of those things where I've been a business owner and then I've ping-ponged back to be a W-2 employee, depending on the PCS or where we are. Mm-hmm. And then I've become a business owner again. Business might have failed. I've had a couple of those. And then like you, so, and now I feel like, you know, pursuing a business full time, but I think it has changed. So during that time, during, you know, in the last 15 years, or whatever it's been, it's kind of just been that collective experience in order to get the confidence, honestly, in going back into a business full time and knowing how to structure that properly.
Yeah.
And balance my time.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So what are some of the challenges that you have faced as you've been in and out of deployments and TDYs, like the times when, or trainings, I know TDYs is like just an army term, but like the trainings okay. of when your service member's gone, how do you manage all that?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple things like, but I'll just give you some like tactical advice, like mm-hmm. really tactical advice is block scheduling and flexible right. scheduling. One of the things that I've become really good at over the past 11 years, because my husband's schedule is really busy sometimes and he's gone for extended amounts of time. And then he gets off at noon every day for 2 weeks because right. they've gotten back from something. And so it's leaning into that. So like mm-hmm. when he gets off at noon, I'm like working as much as possible. I'm setting myself up for success. And I think like part of that is block scheduling. Like I was not a fan of block scheduling. I've become obsessed with block scheduling. Is that what am I going to accomplish in certain blocks of time that I know I have? Yeah. And I do, a lot of people do Sunday, like Sunday preparation. And I get that. I don't like to take my Sundays to do preparation, but I think I do it on Friday afternoons. But whenever you can find that block of an hour to like look at your realistic schedule and say, I can fit in these super like needed tasks, these priority tasks in these blocks of time, and mm-hmm. be realistic on what you can accomplish in an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours is right. something else that you learn. Because one of the things is when our spouses are gone, we are the daycare shuttle. We are the doctor appointment, dental appointment, XYZ shuttle. Mm-hmm. We're the only person when the kids are sick. We are the only person that can take care of family matters, those sorts of things. So being super realistic about that block scheduling. And I kind of use the 80-20 rule of I'm going to get 80% of what I'm meaning to do done. And then the other 20% is stuff that is not as high of a priority that I can move to different blocks or just available time.
Yeah.
And so like that's super like just tactical stuff of like block scheduling what you need to do, using an 80-20 rule or whatever's for you, like 60-40, whatever it might be. I use 80-20 so that I know if I get 80% of it done, I'm going to be in good standing for the next week.
And for people who don't know, because I've heard the term, but like what's block scheduling versus like, I'm going to do this at 3 p.m. or whatever.
Yeah. So in running a business or in just your professional and your job, like, you know, for me, for block scheduling, I have themes of each block. So for each block, or for each week rather, like I know that I have to do content development. I know that I have to do invoicing and client update emails. I know that I have to do deep client work, which is going to take bigger blocks of time. And so that's what I mean. And so then on Fridays, what I do is I take my product development block, say, or my client work block, and I list out exactly what I need to do, or I link it to my like project management board so that I know what tasks have to be accomplished. So block scheduling, other than just regular calendar meetings or blocks, I would say, is a much more detailed list of things that you need to do.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense. So many questions. So how do you, with like a deployment, when it seems like, I mean, obviously things change. Like you said, you're now the only parent who, whatever happens, you're the one who has to show up. You're the only one who can take care of things if the car breaks. And, you know, like, and that takes a chunk of time. Everybody knows that like Murphy's going to show up and something's going to break. My husband was just gone for a few weeks and our car battery died. And so I had to like jump it a few times. And then after the third time, I was like, okay, obviously this is not coming back to life. I need to replace it. And I did like a question box of share, like, what are the things that have happened to you when your soldier's gone? Because it's always something. And like the amount of appliances that break, or that's when the house floods, or you know what I mean? Like anybody who's been in more than 5 years who are like, yes, we 100% know, like that it's like, oh, that happened. That's a bummer. But it's also a big chunk of time, right? Like it was at least like a 5 hour thing to go and buy the battery and then jump it and like get the car and figure it out. And you know what I mean? Like empty my life. So then my morning's gone. And when that happens multiple times, it can, at least for me, it can feel really frustrating. And that's like the frustrating part about deployments or when he has to leave, of just like, I don't feel like there's any way of protecting my time so I can as effectively meet the professional and the personal goals that I want to set. So I'm curious what your like thoughts and advice are and how you've kind of managed that.
Yeah.
I don't even like know what the proper term for that of it's just when you're like, I feel like I'm a chicken with my head cut off that I'm just like that nothing happens today, you know?
Yeah. And I'm laughing because I you know, in these past few training evolutions, literally like I got in a car wreck and then and then a month later my battery died and I had to replace my battery in my car. So I hear you. I'm like, why is this happening? Oh, because my husband's gone. That's why. And you know, and then I have a 2-year-old, gets RSV, like goes to daycare, all these things. And it all happens then. And so two words like really that are very similar to me, which is reframe and redefine. And I've had to get really used to those. I have post-it notes with those words on my desk just so I can remind myself of like reframe, like what a productive or successful day looks like. I've really had to work on that. Like it's very tough for me. I will admit that it's like very tough for me. I get super frustrated about it. And then redefining what success looks like. For me, what success used to look like was getting every single thing on my to-do list checked off, like everything. Now what success looks like is appropriately and successfully prioritizing my to-do list. So if the like least prioritized tasks are still left over and at the bottom of my list, but I got the things that are most important done, that's a successful day. And that's like a mind shift. And it's really hard when you're trying to balance professional and personal, especially in our lifestyle, because like quite literally a wrench can be thrown in and take up 5 or 6 hours. Right. And then you have 2 hours left and you're like, how am I going to get 8 hours of work done in 2 hours? And like, let's all be honest. It's not going to happen. And that's okay. And so it's like redefining what that looks like. And then just reframing of like, I did the best I could today. And that has to be good enough.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
How do you personally, because one thing I'm big about is like, I don't want any of us to get to retirement and there's like a whole bunch of resentment buildup, right? Like I see that a lot of like either you go to a retirement ceremony and the service member's standing alone because they're divorced because they were not able to figure this out. Or I have talked to so many military spouses that are like, yeah, he like, I am glad he is gone. And we have so many things that we now need to like go to therapy about and figure out because I'm angry about what happened. Mm-hmm. And I am not judging those people at all. Right. Like,
yeah,
I think we can all understand that the military provides plenty of opportunities for that to happen in our relationship. But I think I do. I also think while I don't have all the answers, I think there are things we can do to help ease it. And mm-hmm. curious what are, because you said like it is a daily struggle to work on that reframe and that redefine. Yeah. So how do you approach that, I guess?
That's a great question. It's I think that in itself is like a daily, weekly, monthly like thing. I think intention and mm-hmm. attention to it is really important. I read a lot of Brené Brown.
So good.
Which I just finished Rising Strong, actually, which is like it's about this, right? Like in your relationships, how to reframe and how to have like better constructive conversations. The other thing is like, we're not going to get it right all the time. And keeping those lines of communication open are super important. This is just something like my husband and I do, which is like gratitude. So mm-hmm. always say thank you to the other, you know, to your spouse. That's something that we find can like kind of resolve an issue. Like, what am I thankful for in my spouse today? And that seems so generic and like easy, but it's one of those things like, okay, like I am mad at you about this. Like you totally messed up my plans. You said you were going to be home at 4. You got home at 7. You know, and I had all these things to do in those 3 hours. But it's like, thank you for emptying the dishwasher or thank you for doing this. And I think gratitude does go a long way. I think that it is one of those things that as military couples, something that I don't think we do enough of is just addressing the hard stuff of like, of what our lifestyle throws at us that we would not be dealing with if we were just civilians with professional mm-hmm. careers, right? There's just a different one because like pay isn't equal in the military to civilian counterparts. And you know, and people say, oh, you get housing, oh, you get healthcare. It doesn't matter. It's like, and then when they get out of the military and they retire, many times, a lot of great organizations are combating this, but a lot of times they don't start at where they were, right? In the level of leadership or management.
Yeah.
And then we're dealing with just like all of these various things like that are outside of our control completely, like the world, like what's going on in the world. And I think what we don't talk about enough is the stress that us as spouses feel when there are world conflicts and global conflicts, because all we're waiting for is orders for our spouses to leave. Mm-hmm. And that adds a totally different layer of stress and things on our relationships, on our spouse relationships and our marriages, than other people are dealing with that don't have that fear. And so I'm just one of those people that I think like dealing with these things head on and practicing gratitude are the things that you can build resiliency in your relationship. But like you said, like we don't have all the answers. I definitely don't have all the answers. I'm not immune to, and I think you're saying either, like we're not immune to things that come up and just challenge us in a way that we didn't know would challenge us to that level. And we just deal with a lot. We deal with it on like a consistent basis, you know, like how many times does my car battery have to die before I just lose my mind?
Yes. And I think like, as you've been talking, I think the thought came that like, what's really important is that we keep striving, that like we mm-hmm. keep our goal at, like for me, it's, I have this very vivid goal of I want to get to retirement and be happy and in love and at peace with the choices that we made. And when I remember that goal, then I'm willing to have the hard conversations, because that is not my strength. I am not a talker, which sounds funny to say when I'm hosting a podcast, but like I'm the person who like buries her feelings, mm-hmm. and then it gets to the point where it explodes. Right. And then we have to have this conversation. But when I remember of like, okay, this is my goal, and I just have to try to get like, what can I try to do today to get us there? Mm-hmm. Then it makes it easier to have those conversations. It makes it easier to not get defensive during those conversations and letting that block the productivity of the conversation. Because I think it can be hard, especially as those of us who are kind of more professional, whether we're self-employed or working, it can be hard because sometimes, I don't know if you've had this, like sometimes we've gotten to the point of the conversation of just like, I feel like I need to voice this sucks and he can't do anything about it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely. We have that conversation all the time and in the Marine Corps, and I'm sure in other branches they say this, but like embrace the suck, right? Yes. And sometimes us just both verbalizing that we're feeling how much this like certain situation sucks.
Yeah.
Kind of like diffuses some of, like, it's not tension between us. You know, I got some great advice professionally is, you know, cause in the workplace too, you have tensions. And I was working with this retired colonel and he said, look, like whenever you're facing friction or conflict, mm-hmm. like make it about the issue, not the person.
Yes.
And never use, you know, or articulate it in a way that says you or we or they, you know, those types of words, like the issue. Mm-hmm. And I've taken that. And I think using that in our marriages is actually really helpful. It's like, I am not mad at you. And I am so proud of you. And I'm like, I'm behind you 100%. But yeah. I hate the way they keep changing your schedule because it's really making my life difficult.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's like business advice, but it's like, I can apply this to my marriage perfectly.
So I heard it as the mindset, and I've shared it in the Bulletproof Your Reintegration course. And I am going to start sharing it more, like building content around it. It's us versus the problem.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people think that like their spouse, and I'm sure there are some service members, but like they think that their service member is at work and is like volunteering of like, yes, I would love to change the plan again. And I, you know, maybe like there's a certain rank when you're like a general or something where really it's like, no,
that's you.
And that's a different conversation, but most of us, I don't think are going to get to that rank or are at that rank.
Yeah.
At least not listening to this podcast. But for most of it, it is like, this is the job. Mm-hmm. This is the problem. And honestly, I know military has like, we deal with different stuff than other job, but really every single job is going to have a set of pros and a set of cons. Mm-hmm. And if we remember that, like, it's not like leaving the military is going to make everything better or going to make your marriage better. Like either way, your marriage, you need to figure out how to approach things as us versus the problem. Right. And you're right. Like I heard it instead of saying like you, it's you use I statements of mm-hmm. I feel this when the military does whatever, or you do this. And then it just is less attacking. It helps them not get mm-hmm. defensive. And then you can have conversations. And again, I think like you have to both be okay with the end of the conversation being like, this just does.
Right. Things. This just sucks. Yeah.
And how are we going to make the most of it? Not in a way of like, how are we going to spin this to be a positive thing? Because mm-hmm. I don't believe you can do that all the time, but how can you make the most of it? Like just because mm-hmm. it is hard doesn't mean it has to be miserable. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've been stationed in 29 Palms. I know what you mean. Yeah, we lived in 29 Palms and everybody gave me like the doom and gloom, like, oh my God, like if you guys survive this, it'll be a miracle. And yeah. And we just made the decision together, right? We said, you know what, like we're gonna make the most out of this. Like it's the worst duty station, at least that's what people say. And then we ended up loving it just because like we made the decision. Like, and when you're stationed 29 Palms Marine Corps, you know that your spouse, that's the service member, is going to be gone all the time because it's a training facility. And my goal, like, and I love how you articulated the goal at the end of retirement. I'm going to steal that, I think, because that's like how we feel. That's like, you know, we talk about that a lot. Like, that's the goal, is to be in love at the end of this. And, and I think, like I just said, I'm going to build community here. Like, I need to build a community in 29 Palms, California, because if I don't, I'm going to be miserable. And then like my, you know, we were newlyweds at the point. I was like, my marriage isn't going to survive. I'm going to be unhappy, all these things. And if you make those conscious decisions, like it makes those goals just like, and, you know, resonate, and also revisiting them like all the time, like you were saying, I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Question.
Yeah.
Obviously, because conversation. Sorry.
You're good.
So how with like deployments and when your service member leaves, how do you approach setting and managing professional goals? Like, is it still kind of the 80-20 rule, or do you just like, is that not the time to set goals and it's a times and season thing? How do you approach that?
Yeah, definitely set goals. I think my goals are around boundaries. And because when my husband's gone, what I do is I bury myself in work, and I will really overextend myself. And, you know, and let's just be honest, it's like fear of being alone or not having enough to do is what ends up happening. And I can recognize that and say that out loud now, where I probably couldn't have in my early 20s, like when I first met my husband. But I think the thing is like my is like, I'm going to set boundaries for myself and then for also the people around me. I have a wonderful family that wants to join me. You know, if my husband's gone, they just want to come out and stuff. But I have to realize, okay, that's just filling the space. And sometimes that's not what I need, is people in the house for 3 weeks or things like that. I need to just be comfortable with stillness. And so really for me, it is maintaining the 80-20 rule, which is really hard for me, because then I just want to go to like 100 and just say, forget it. And I was like, okay, Liz, if you go to 100, you're going to like not be working out. You're not going to be like cooking home cooked meals like you like. You're going to be eating like tortillas wrapped around slices of cheese for dinner, like these sorts of things. And so for me, it's like, we've all been there. We know, like, you know, it's like, put that piece of cheddar in a tortilla and just eat it cold.
Tortilla with like, or like meat wrapped in cheese. Yeah. Butter and Jay for like the 50th time.
Yes.
Old spaghetti, like not even new spaghetti, but the leftovers from yesterday. Yeah.
Don't worry about heating it up. Who cares at this point? Like, yeah, I'm there. I'm like, whatever. Like cold meatballs, sure, sounds great. Yeah. And so it's for me, it's maintaining boundaries. I think like during deployments and during long periods of separation, I believe what is important is that we maintain our individuality, and that we have that like alone time and quiet time, and we use it to kind of like be comfortable and more confident in ourselves without piling on the things that we cover up, right? Like uncomfortability with, which is for me, which is work, you know, like I can work all day, every day if given the chance. But I need to not do that, especially my husband's away, so that I can be more present, and nicer to myself, to be honest.
That is fascinating to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And like super deep, because that's like the question I get probably most often, or you see on the Facebook pages of like, my husband's at deployment, like, yeah, what do I do? What show should I watch?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so sad. And then all the advice is like, stay busy, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. But you're saying like, what, maybe we should be asking like, what are we running away from? Because yes, on the one hand, like, I get it. I get sad every time my husband is gone. He was only gone for 2 weeks, right? I still cried. I love him. He's my person.
Yeah.
I feel way more sane when he's around and I feel cared for and I want his hugs, mm-hmm, and all that kind of stuff. But as you've been talking, I'm like, oh, I am, like, there is a point where I am uncomfortable in the stillness.
Yeah.
And what does, like, what am I running away from? And I do, I'm like you, I fill it with work. And I have like a brain that doesn't realize that, oh, now it's 12:30 and
yes,
we're,
yeah, later.
And like, because my husband's the one that like,
why do we go to bed after midnight when, yeah, we're separated, but we go like to bed at 9:30 when we're here together? Yeah.
It's, yeah,
I think.
And that's an interesting part of like managing the professional and personal goals during the deployment.
Yes, it really is. And I mean, for me, like I said, it is a struggle. It's hard. But now I go as far as, I mean, I'm one of those people, like, I will sit on the couch and I will watch some television, but then like, I'm also Googling and like researching like the bet, like switching my CRM to something better from, I'm like, yeah, I'm a CRM. So I go as far now as like, I leave my cell phone like upstairs. I like put it down and I don't have it near me in my vicinity because like, that's another boundary for me. Like I will just work and work and work. And then I end up being up until 12:30 or 1 AM when my husband's gone, because there's like no like gauge there of like what normalcy is. I think building resiliency for young military spouses, for military spouses that haven't been in this life as long as maybe we have, is, I think it is building the resiliency and confidence in yourself and in the stillness. Because when my husband and I got together first, like when we started dating, it was in the height of Iraq and Afghanistan. He was leaving all the time, mm-hmm, and he was gone for months and months and months.
Right.
And during the first deployment, it was like so hard. And I remember saying to myself, like, if you love this person, if you're going to be in this for the rest of your life, you've got 20 years ahead of you, or 20 mm-hmm plus years ahead of you of this, like, learn to be with yourself, because you're going to be alone a lot. And I do see all the advice of staying busy, and I completely understand that. You need friends, you need community. I'm not saying mm-hmm run away from that at all. Like, if it's work or hang out with, you know, a couple of your friends, like pick a couple of your friends, especially if your husband's gone or spouse is gone. But I do think we need to build like more kind of just narrative around like actually being with yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's super important.
Yeah. That's so okay. I feel like we could have a whole nother podcast episode. Maybe we will, but it's like, it's so good because it's just so easy when they're gone to run away from all the feelings,
mm-hmm,
and, yeah, and we run towards work. We run towards food. We run towards, like just staying busy and filling our schedule an absurd amount. And it's like, but I love what you're saying, that the real way that we manage our goals and can like really thrive through this life is the boundaries with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think it's, yeah, super popular. And I know I talk a lot about like how it's okay to put boundaries over other people and you need to learn to say no, but what do you need to learn to say no to yourself?
It's a harder lesson, I'll tell you that. At least it is for me, you know, because I just lean on being busy instead of facing the feelings, as you put it.
Right. Because then I'll be very honest, like, spoiler alert, if this is your first deployment or even your second, like, you start to notice the pattern of, like, reintegration's really hard because they come home and you realize how stupid tired you are. Like, it's like dumb how tired you can be when you do this. Like, yes. Me, I know. Our first deployment, I had 4 kids, 6 and under.
Oh my God.
And I was trying to build a business. And we had, like, fairly recently just moved there. And I just was like, I was a train that was not going to be stopped.
Right.
And when my husband came home, I got physically ill because, and I didn't realize until, like, years later, like, it's because I just get in this mindset of you have to go crazy. And it is, it's, you're running away from feeling alone, but you there, like, you've got to figure out, like you said, of just, like, how to be with yourself.
Yeah.
And realize the difference between loneliness and just, like, sitting with yourself at, you know, for an hour at night. Like, that's,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, and God, I can't imagine 4 children. I have 1 and I think, like, sometimes I'm like, how, you know, like, how do people do this? But it's true. And I think we fill up our time a lot with things that are outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things is, like, one of the things that I said that I was going to do is I said, okay, I played tennis in college, like, for the club team. And I've played basically my whole life, except for this last 10 years. Right. And so I'm like, okay, instead of just filling my time, like, I'm going to find an afternoon or a morning every week when my son's in school that I can go play tennis, that I can go do something, like, I really enjoy, like, it's good for you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's heard this advice, but the work will be there mm-hmm. when you get back, and it's a hard lesson to learn, but it will be, you know? And so it's just kind of sitting with that and getting, you know, having confidence that you'll have work to do when you get back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So one question that was actually asked on Instagram, like, I did a, you know, question and ask me whatever. Somebody just asked this question and I don't have as much experience with it. So maybe I'll see what you say. Excuse me. She asked, how do you manage having a career while your spouse has a career and, like, but you travel a lot for work? Do you have any advice for that? Like, how do you?
Yes. I've been traveling a lot. And customarily, like, throughout our marriage, I've traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. When I was in the entertainment industry and doing film, I mean, yeah, it was wherever the work is. Right. So it's hard to give advice on this. I think it adds a layer of complexity to professional life and to your relationship building, you know, it's not a lie that it takes a village. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to ask for help. And this can span our entire conversation, actually. Right. It's like, ask for help. Right. And I think when you are traveling a lot for work and your spouse is the service member, you know, like, deconflicting whatever that schedule looks like and trying to deconflict, at least for your kids and for your other, like, obligations. This might not work for everybody. What we did was we put a monitor in our kitchen that is linked to a shared family Google calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, put all of our stuff on that calendar. My husband and I review it every week of, like, okay, I need to travel these 2 days. When are you traveling? Mm-hmm. And then piecemealing the childcare essentially for 2 hours or 3 hours in the evenings if we need to, with mm-hmm. neighbors and with our community. And I think it's really about, like we were just talking about this, about the open conversation, about the open channels of communication. Like that is what's important in that scenario. If you love, like, I don't love traveling every month. I love traveling like quarterly, but I don't love traveling like every month because I think it just adds complexity to the family life that is a little bit too much right now with his schedule. But if you still want to travel and you still like it, just look at the calendar, deconflict it, you know, have basically visibility on the whole family picture. And when we're stationed wherever, I mean, we don't have family where we are stationed now. You probably don't, you know, so
yeah.
So it's like, how do I piecemeal the childcare if I have children? Yeah. And then the other thing about travel, this worked for me. It doesn't work for everybody, but I reduce the amount of nights as much as possible when I travel. And so like, I will take a red eye or a 10 PM flight over flying out the next day, anytime. Mm-hmm. And I think like, if you can be flexible with that with yourself of just like, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to be gone one night and I'm going to do a 5 a.m. flight and a 10 p.m. flight, which I've done that a lot, then look at that and do it. You know, like if it makes your life easier that your spouse only has to cover one night, you know, do that and decide as a family what's better.
Yeah. Good advice. Last question that I love to end every episode with is, what is your key to thriving that you want to share with your fellow waiting warriors?
Key to thriving. All right. I'll throw back some advice that I got from a very seasoned military spouse, who's also a professional mom of three, all these things. She gave me this advice and it changed my life, which I don't know if it will change anybody's life, but hopefully it'll add some insight. Is she told me, some days you're going to rock it as a mom and some days you're going to rock it professionally. And very rarely are those days going to overlap. Mm. And that's okay. So like, enjoy the wins of the days that you really are on it as a mom and a spouse, and then enjoy the days when you're really on it professionally and you feel like you won. And so I kind of rate my days like that. Is today I really like professionally, I killed it. Today is one of those professional days where I killed it. I didn't kill it as a mom because I had to take my kid to daycare earlier and I'm going to pick him up later, but that's okay. And we're probably eating chicken nuggets for dinner. but professionally I killed it. And so I think that advice is just really helpful. And it goes back to that reframing and redefining of like, you know, I don't have to get it 100% every single day in every aspect of my life. And I'm going to be kinder to myself, you know, which is another, like, that's other advice, like be kind to yourself. You're doing something that 99%+ of people will never experience.
Yeah.
And there's power in that. And there's power in our community as military spouses that we should really lean into.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what will allow you to thrive, I think.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. If people want to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Liz Wilson Marion. I love to connect with everybody on LinkedIn, see what you all are doing. Same name on Facebook. Or if you have any questions or just want to connect, liz@libbyworks.com is also an open channel.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you.
Gave us a lot to think about. I like it.
Thanks, Michelle.
A lot to think about and kind of reframe and redefine. I really like that. So
my stickies, they're up on my monitors.
They're reminders. So if you want to talk more with Liz, please reach out. I'll put all the links for the things that she shared with the ways to connect in the show notes. And guys, just remember, just because it's hard doesn't mean it has to be miserable. And that happened because of the redefining, the reframing, boundaries on yourself, and learning. I love that, learning to like sit with yourself. That is something that I need to work on. Have a good week, guys. And Liz, thanks again so much. Bye.
Thanks, Michelle.
This episode's sponsor is Libby Works. At LibbyWorks, we believe in the transformative power of effective communication to propel your personal and professional journey. LibbyWorks is a certified military spouse-owned business specializing in communication development programs and coaching. Our tailored workshops and activations are designed for individual growth and for organization success. We offer effective communication training to optimize performance. Let LibbyWorks be the catalyst for your career advancement. If you're a leader or aspiring leader or looking to upskill your communication, connect with us today to discuss how effective communication can elevate your success. Your journey to professional development starts with effective communication. Let's initiate that conversation today. LibbyWorks is proud to sponsor the Waiting Warriors podcast and support fellow military spouses and the greater military connected community. Learn more at LibbyWorks.com.